Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everybody, Chuck and Julie, Chuck Bonneville and Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Two Straight Up.
That's right, brought to you by Mountain West Boundless Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. We're going to start out today with one of our favorite guests, El Paso County Chair, GOP Chair, Vicky Tonkins. Once again,
fighting off the trolls.
The trolls, the Rhino Party, the Rhino Uniparty establishment. They just never, you beat them every time. They don't go away. And the Colorado politics, the Anschutz Media Industrial Complex, happy to run this story
on virtually anything.
Exactly. So, Vicky, I am so sorry you keep, I'm sorry we have to keep having you on to talk about this, but we got to do it.
I know.
Thank you. So, Trader Todd Watkins, who used to be a friend of the program, as Stephen Tubbs would say.
But I'm not sure we want to cite Stephen Tubbs.
But at any rate, it's a total traitor trying to oust Dave. He's filed the fake petition to file Dave, which we talked about with Tim Leonard. We'll talk about more. And now he had a fake meeting in a parking lot to try to censure you. He's the vice chair of El Paso County. I guess just kind of fill us in. And if you have any, I want to talk to you, as I said, a couple points too to get into that people need to remember. This is not most of the Republicans. This is a handful of just crabby power grabbing people and a complicit corrupt media. But why don't you explain, let's first talk about this fake meeting and what the heck.
On launchers
in a parking lot. It's hot.
Well, the reason this happened, I had to move the meeting to a couple of days later because there are some things that I personally needed to take care of. I mean, I'm here all the time. And there's this thing I needed to take care of personally. I had already sent out the call in the required number of days. So I had to change our location to our office versus a larger venue. And there's some other things that we wanted to do just for our volunteers and things like that. And it took time to get those things together. And so that was the reasons for the meeting being changed to 2 days later. And also preparing for the national convention. I'm a delegate. So preparing for that is, I have to raise a lot of money right now for that. So been working on that. And so I was, to be honest with you, I was really shocked that Todd would take the position that he did, because these are people who are always telling me, follow the bylaws. And I try to do that. Am I perfect in it? Probably not. But I thought it curious that they're going to say that my meeting is fake, even though I'm the chair that calls meetings.
Right.
And the job of the vice chair is basically, if I tell you, ask you to do something, then that's what you're supposed to do. Not right.
Yeah, the vice chair. Exactly. The vice chair. The secretary is the one who does a lot of work and stuff. But the vice chair's essentially, the vice chair's only job is to do what you ask and then fill in if you can't. Well, I mean, let's get right down to it. So as a chair, you have the prerogative to change meetings or call meetings, things like that. Although you have to listen to the membership, but the reality is this has nothing to do with changing a meeting date, does it? That has nothing to do with it. And why don't you tell folks what they're really trying to do?
Well, always the motive is to get rid of me. You would think that after being elected three times, they realize I'm not going away. Yeah. Even if I never were chair again, I'm still going to be engaged and involved. So you would think that they understand by now that I don't quit. They do not. So this is how I see it. I am a strong ally with Dave Williams.
Right.
Dave will be the first to tell you he does not do things perfectly. Anybody in their right mind would be willing to tell you that, because right. we all make errors or whatever. However, I know Dave Williams, and I know his heart in wanting to serve this party and make it better. So I think part of that is they're just mad that my support has been so strong with Dave. And I think the other part is there's personal vendettas that have got to get out of the way, because we have too much going on. I believe that the establishment is terrified, even though, curiously, they won.
Yeah.
They're terrified that we are still in place and we are strongly supporting Donald Trump. Most of these people are never Trumpers. They'll never tell you that, but I know.
Right.
They're never Trumpers. They don't want to see him elected again. They'd rather have a loss, because after all, they make a lot of money when we lose.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that. And so I don't like losing. I go into everything that I'm doing with a win in my mind. And so I think there's so many different aspects to why, but I think a lot of people just want power and control. And you know the mantra we all hear, we need to come together and unify. We got to unify.
Unify.
When the establishment says, we need to unify, you know what I hear? I hear, serve us. We're going to tell you what to do. Sit down, shut up, do what we tell you. And I'm
That's
not
exactly
kidding.
Right.
Well, you know, it's a little bit strange. As they're always saying, you know, we've got to take back the state. The Democrats are doing awful. So we finished the primary season. And what's their first move? Oh, let's get rid of the chair. We'll fight about that. And then let's fight about everything in El Paso County, the largest Republican county. So let's get everything ready for failure, because that's what we do. We don't
that's
give
do.
A darn about anything other than a little. And I assume it's the same peak Republicans, except they got Traitor Todd to step up and do his Benedict Arnold deal.
Well, and let's go over all the fakes. So this is the same group of people who pretended to be a whole separate Republican Party. So they tried to be a fake GOP Republican Party. Now they had a fake meeting to censure you. Todd has submitted what is clearly a fake petition. We had Tim Leonard saying it's, I mean, not even remotely. He even talked to some people who said, I don't want my name on that, right? I mean, Todd just sent Dave a bunch of names, so a fake petition. So this is all fake. And here's, and Vicky, you're right. I mean, it's designed to generate negative headlines.
Yes.
And these, it's all the same.
Negative headlines for Republicans are having their best week ever.
Exactly.
With Biden just cratering, and Todd and the boys and girls at peak Republicans to kind of go, okay, we can counter that, because, you know, actually Trump is gaining in Colorado, as he's gaining
yes,
everywhere.
He is. Yes.
And they decided, hey, we can get some. And of course, you know, the Anschutz industrial complex, media complexes, as Julie likes to call them, is happy to print anything. And I thought your quote, you know, this isn't worth reporting on. Oh, yes, of course it is. Of course it is. Hooray.
It's like,
hooray for Hollywood.
He described it as like, so they met in a parking lot on lawn chairs. Right there, that should say, well, wait a minute.
That sounds like a good meeting.
That sounds like a legitimate, you know, kind of thing that met all the official rules. And things like use, and its bylaws. And I think a lot of the people, from what I understand, and I wanted to ask you about this, a lot of the people who signed the fake petition who are behind this are the same people who vote every time against Republicans opting out of the open primary. These are people
yes.
who do not want to return the Republican primary to Republicans, because they want to be able to have.
They'll never be elected. They're Mitt Romney type Republicans that nobody wants. And now, you know, we've got three, let's unify them, candidates for open seats, or open seats, well, one term seat. And they're bland, they're Doug Lamborn Republicans, which means they'll do nothing in their 8 or 10 years. And they, unluckily, We have one person, and she's going to do some fighting for us. But the other three will be as bland as Lamborn, and they will do nothing.
And that's they want to keep. I mean, do you think that? I think this getting rid of the open primary, and in the process, getting rid of you and Dave and anyone who supports the open primary, or closing the open primary, rather. I mean, yes. Would you think that's part of a motive too?
Absolutely. I mean, because I remember when this first came to the committee to open the primary. I remember that. I was sitting there. I was a voting member. And we were screaming and hollering, the few of us, saying, we don't want this. We don't want this. We want to be able to vote for our people. And so here we are. I mean, we were winning some things back then, right?
Right.
So we opened the primary because, and this is what ticked me off when they talked about opening the primary. This is what Jeff Hayes said when we were objecting. He said, well, we don't want the Democrats thinking that we're not nice. I don't care what the Democrats think of us. I don't care. And so here we are all these years later, and we're dealing with this, and we keep losing. And like I said, these guys make a lot of money on losing. I hate losing. We have got to close our primary and get back to winning again. And we cannot do that with the open primaries. Now we have this stupid ranked choice voting stuff coming up.
They love that too.
Got to fight. We don't have time to try to get rid of a chair who has done the most for our party in many, many years. Now, I say this as well. People have contacted me. Todd's got to go. Todd's got to go. He's got to go. Like, guys, we don't have time for this. We have an election coming up. We have got to focus on President Trump. And I want to win Colorado for President Trump. I don't have time for this bickering. We need to stop it. And we just need to focus on what we need to get done.
And Vicki, that is so true, because I read a thing yesterday in Puck Reports where that somebody sent him some of the Biden internal polling, right? The internal polling. And one of the headlines was Colorado is potentially back in play, right? And so, and like you said, it's like these people, and I think folks need to remember this, these people who were trying to get rid of Dave, who were trying to censure you, who want to keep the open primary, they do not like Donald Trump. So here we are.
They won't tell you that.
No.
Oh, I love Donald. Yeah, sure they do.
Jeff Crank supported Nikki Haley, right? But,
yes,
but
he did.
So here we are, like, the best position Colorado Republicans, thanks to a great national ticket, have been in a while. And so these people, these rhinos and these uniparty people are, rather than, I mean, we're ready to unify, right? It's like, okay, fine, you got Jeff Crane, right? You got Jeff Hurd, but we got President Trump, right? So we will work hard in Colorado, and they want to make sure that
we don't,
right? And that we can't. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, they really are uniparty. They really do. They really are Democrats or quasi-Democrats. And therefore, the fact that they're destroying everything, they don't care. Well, that's good, isn't it? I mean, and where's Eli Bremmer? I haven't heard from him for weeks. Where's Eli?
I don't know.
I think he's pulling the puppet strings on Todd Watkins, is what my guess would be.
Well, I know I have heard that he goes on to Richard Randall's show here in El Paso County because he's the expert in elections.
Oh, well, yeah.
I don't understand. I'm sorry, like you said, Vicki, they won, right? And it's like, okay, fine. Now we all move on, because this is a crucial election. And what does it do if you're just a person kind of not paying a lot of attention? You get the sense, because I want to talk about this too, to clarify for folks, that the entire Colorado Republican Party is up in arms and is just in disarray. And that's not true. There's like 10 people who are really loud and play the media, and the media goes, I mean, is that fair to say?
It is. We have in El Paso County, I can just only speak for El Paso County because that's where my focus is. That's where I work and give my best. In El Paso County, we probably have about 35 people who work very, very hard to disrupt anything and everything that we try to do positively. They want to blame us, I'll say the grassroots. They want to blame the grassroots for losing people from the Republican Party. I'm like, dude, you missed it. I can tell you exactly why we're losing people. Because you guys, on the other side, I just call them the establishment, you keep going to the media. You don't come talk to me if you're concerned about me. You don't go talk to another person you may have an issue with, like an adult. No, you go to the media and you call them to carry your water for you. And it's splattered everywhere. And you really think people want to be a part of that? Right. Of course they don't. Right. And so that's why people are leaving the party. It's not because of the grassroots, because the grassroots are working for these people, trying to bring them in, trying to get unaffiliated to change back to Republicans. Because I can tell you, half of the unaffiliated, if not more, here in El Paso County are previous Republicans. And right, they got tired of seeing all the stuff in the media. Trust me, I've talked to them. They said, if it wasn't for that, I would have never changed my party.
Well, let's talk about the media. The media in Colorado at this time is the usual suspects at the Denver Post, or maybe, you know, the Boulder Camera, whatever else. But basically the Denver Post lefties, who occasionally, you know, still have a few reporters left. And the rest is Anschutz. I mean, in different guises, it's Anschutz. It's the Colorado Springs Gazette, the Denver Gazette, Colorado Politics. I mean, and on. And so, you know, I mean, they don't go to the media. The media, which is Anschutz, controls them. And he says, okay, you go out there and I'll give you some pub because it'll sound great that Todd Watkins had some meeting with...
In a lawn chair in a parking lot. That's like...
And don't get me wrong. We have done that before when our building flooded. We had to have our meeting in a parking lot. So I'm not that... That's not that really important to me.
Well, your building's open, though.
No, it wasn't.
No, because there was not a meeting scheduled. It's like when you just call a fake meeting.
Yeah, the meeting changed. And so here's the thing. I'm like, come on. How can you say that because I didn't cancel the meeting, which I did, that you have a right to run a fake meeting, and then you call it the wrong name, you call it a central committee meeting, when that's not what it was, then you bring in two resolutions that was never on the original agenda, because why?
Well, exactly. Well, and I'm going to go back to a point you made when you talk about they complain about the people leaving the party. I submit that's exactly what they want. When you're the party lead establishment, you don't want anybody out. You want like all your little five people so you can run things. And then you don't have to deal with the bothersome Chuck Bonnie Wells and Vicky Tonkins and Julie and Dave Williams. They're happy. And I think, like you said, we are on the cusp of like something big in Colorado.
Right, right. And they keep on telling us, you know, the Dick Wadhams, the beautiful Dick Wadhams, always telling us, you know, Colorado hates Donald Trump. And you kind of go, why is he about to, you know, looks like he's gaining
behind by 2 points.
Well, why is that, Dick? And if he does win Colorado, then Dick will come up with a new one. Why that is the awful thing causing Colorado. Only when Donald Trump is gone, says Dick Wadhams, will the Republican Party be pure enough in his mind to vote and be free to be milquetoast Republicans, as we all want to be, don't you? Didn't you grow up saying, I want to be a milquetoast Republican? I'm just dying to.
No. And I think it's funny with Dick Wadhams, you know, I think he came out in an article stating that Dave Williams needs to resign because we didn't win. We did da 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 da. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. When KBB was chair, we got our butts handed to us. I didn't hear Dick Wadhams say one thing. But when she left, all of a sudden she was working for Dick Wadhams. What? No. There's no connection there.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Who's
this?
KBB.
Oh, KBB. And she's. I'm not going to say that. Never mind.
Okay. Well, I think, again, you know, the bottom line, what I want people to understand is all of these complaints are fake. The media reports about them are fake. The goal that they have is, I think, like you said, to defeat Donald Trump. They want to control the party themselves, get everyone else out of the party, so they can just all kind of share their money and their donor, you know, and their whatever, the consultant class. And the truth is, the Colorado Republican Party, I mean, I don't agree with all of the things that came out of the primary, but the party is doing well in Colorado. Donald Trump is doing well. There is, I mean, I go to the meetings, right? There is an excitement. There is an energy that's there.
Well, just think of how much these two groups, which are work together, but they are the Americans for Prosperity. They would throw in all the money for the positive things about their three candidates. And then these two PACs that include one of the Waltons, Rob Walton, and also includes the Republican part-time resident of Aspen. They spent millions to defeat Dave Williams. I mean, millions. So, I mean, we got to thank him for helping the economy out, because nobody spent that much money.
Donors.
In the entire state history. You could total up every campaign and it wouldn't come close to the numbers of that. And can you imagine the Colorado Spring television stations? Thank you.
I know. And it was really sad here, because I had so many calls coming into our office, people coming by our office saying, what is the deal with all the negative ads? Why are these ads happening? This is not how we're supposed to do that. And I had so many people say to me, you know what? I'm voting for the other guy. Because if they're putting that much money into it, something's wrong.
Right.
The problem is, and they spent 5-1 on negative ads compared to positive ads. The sad thing is, negative ads work.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad. It's too bad. And if you don't have enough money to throw enough negative ads against your opponent, because you're never going to put enough to to stem that tide, you're going to lose. That's why money wins. And money wins not because they put out a positive message, but they put out a negative message about your opponent. And that's when wins elections. And it'd be nice if somehow we figured how to go against human nature.
What else too, I think, Vicki, is here's the thing. It goes back to what you said at the beginning, right? We're within striking distance here. Trump is doing well. Colorado is back in play after having not been in play for years. And this small group of selfish, self-centered, egomaniac traitors wants to take the party over, and they're willing to, like you said, they'd rather lose than win. If they don't like you, if they don't like Dave Williams, you know what? After November, there's plenty of time to deal with all of that, right? That's just, I mean, it's only, we've got, you know, July, August, September. I mean, it's just a few months, right? So that's just, if they really want to get rid of you, there are ways to do that. And even if they want to do the sleazy ways, but let's just wait until after November. And
they're not waiting because they're happy that it's deleterious.
Right.
They're happy that it hurts Trump. They're happy it hurts the, and I must admit, you know, I was reading the Colorado Politics usual article, and I was expecting to see lots of other names other than Todd Watkins. No, Todd has become the face of the establishment, which is hilarious because he was always fighting it before, screaming about it before. I mean, what a 180.
I got to tell you, this has been a difficult one for me to deal with, because you have a person, because when you're a team, and I felt like we were a team, the three of us, and one of those team members, you have this knife sticking out of your back, and you're going, what did I do? And I've been asking that question, what was it that I did to cause this type of behavior from a person I gave pretty much free rein to write, to put out things that were so positive, and just so many good things. I saw so much potential with God, and to see this happen, it has not been easy for me.
No,
I have really close friends that I just really bounce things off on. They pray with me. We cry together. We laugh together. And I got to tell you, this has caused me a lot of tears, because this is not something I saw coming.
No, we didn't either.
I mean, it's been hard.
Well, the nice part about it, you know, I'm a kind of a history geek, so you know, you go back to the Middle Ages, and where all of a sudden the king has all these people, and then one of them stabs him in the back. You know, et tu, Brute, for assassination, yeah. Cedar. So, you know, politics is a wonderful study in human nature, and it's not pretty. It's not pretty. I mean, human nature.
It's not for the faint of heart.
No. If you think you know human nature, do politics, and you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked.
And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised at what little bit it takes to get someone to betray you.
Yeah.
That is the part for me, because I'm one of those kind of people. We're friends. Oh, we're friends. Right. I'm going to back you up. Now, I may say, look, that wasn't too smart. Maybe you shouldn't have done that. But I'm going to do that in private. We're going to talk about that in private, because I got your back. Okay. Right. But when people just go all out because of whatever is going on the inside of them, I know this may sound crazy, and people probably think I'm crazy. I feel sorry for Todd, because he has burned so many bridges of people who truly, truly loved him and wanted to see him be successful. And so I feel bad for him.
Well, you think these betrayers who were close away, I mean, they're not, where are they going to go, right? I mean, look at what happened to Nancy Pelosi, right? And so, boom, everybody, she's like, is hanging, you know.
Well, I mean, another historical parallel. See how well Benedict Arnold was treated in London. Nobody loves a traitor. Nobody loves the stuff that, you know, other people in the back. And Todd will rip off his mask and everybody goes, it's Eli Bremer. Oh, my God. It's like Mission Impossible, you know.
Hey, listen, Vicky, we got to let you go. Thank you for being such a strong fighter.
Yeah, we love you.
You really do. You hold just the solid core of Republicans and grassroots Republicans together down there. And I know it's not fun or easy, but
you keep on smashing them. So yay for you.
Well, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you giving us a way to share how we see it and what's going on with us from all the attacks that we receive, because we don't have many people that will even listen to us, because they're so, like, you know, like we've been talking about, they're so wanting to hear the negative stuff. So, so thank you for having me on. I really do appreciate it.
All right, thank you. And everybody in the chat loves you. I don't know if you're able to see that, but they all love you. So thank you, ma'am. All right, thank you. And from Sandra, thank you, Vicky. We need to hear more from you.
No, it's good about that. She's figured out the Zoom thing. You know, before we'd always have to go to a regular one, and she's got it down.
Well, and here, this is just real briefly, and we've got another guest coming up, but from Charlene, can Todd be removed as VP? You know, Charlene, at the beginning, this is what I really respect about Vicky, because there is a process for that. And Vicky said she's had a lot of people ask her about that, and she's like, no, not.
Well, that's the same thing with Nancy Pelosi. People say, well, you know, for her to violate the terms of her office so badly. And they kind of go, you know, there's plenty of time for that. You know,
now we're the ones saying unity.
Yeah.
The only difference is we actually mean it, right? So, and then from Charlene, aren't the puppets Todd Watkins trying to gaslight people into thinking they're more numbers than they actually are? Oh, absolutely, Charlene. And that was one of the reasons I told Vicky, I said, let's talk about this, because they're trashing the Republican Party. They're making the Republican Party look bad. But it's just a handful of them, maybe a little bit, maybe two handfuls, right? The vast majority, because I can see these meetings, right? I go to the HD29 meeting, I go to the CD8 meetings, and people are ready to start fighting for the candidate, right? People are ready to walk. People are ready to make phone calls. People see that this is a crucial election. Trump is winning, you know, at least maybe Colorado's in play now. And for some reason, these rhino uniparty people want to kill that in Colorado. And we're not going to let them. So there's that. So we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to, and we'll talk more about that. And then Chuck also wants to talk about the British election, too.
Yes. But in case you didn't know.
I see her now. We have Linda Dobbins on. Linda, are you there?
Hi, Julie. I am here. Can you hear me?
Hi, Linda. How you doing?
Hi, Chuck.
So this is Linda with LD Lending Key Mortgage Solutions Specialist. She is a friend of ours, and we said, you know, we've got to get you on the show. You've just been such a wonderful friend to us. And I know that you do a lot of lending things, but let me just sort of start.
And very interesting imaginative lending, which you got to do these days with interest rates.
Amen.
That's what I was going to say is, I'm going to ask you a political question up front, but with Bidenomics, right? I mean, it tells us the economy's fine, that it's our imagination.
You're doing great. You go, no, I'm not. You are.
He picked the wrong sheep.
What are you seeing and hearing in your industry?
So politics are a huge part of mortgage. And I watched a recent political debate that just was over the worldwide news in the last few weeks. And it really helped me put it in perspective, especially knowing I was coming on your podcast. And I think what Biden says is going to happen in the bigger picture is obviously not what happens, because it's the lack of opportunity that has been created in the financial market with mortgage specifically. That opportunity is almost impossible for a first-time home buyer. And I think that the vision that he's created is completely opposite. The government will help you. We'll give you this. We'll give you a grant. We got DPAs for you. Through that platform, they're there. But even to get there, there's so many more hurdles. And you got a 2% increase right away on a rate for everything that Biden has think he's put in place for certain types of loans that he's in charge of with, you know, Fannie and Freddie. They're not the best. So that's why us creative lenders come in and try to have a conversation, just get the facts behind it. Actually, it's about building credit health, and then you can build your credit wealth.
Well, and that's why when you said, I mean, because that is such a sad statistic to say that buying a first time home buyer right now, it's virtually impossible. I mean, that's the American dream, right?
It really is.
That's the American dream, is a huge part of just to be your own, own your own home. I mean, now you're establishing equity. You've got, I mean, it's your palace basically. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that so what, you have people coming to you? Okay. I want to buy a home. I've got a good job.
I got credit. I'm all set.
It's almost opposite. It's more of the resistance of either thinking they cannot qualify. And again, that's not having the right conversations with the right people in the industry, or having a completely all the way pendulum opinion that they can just come in. They don't need 20% down. I got $1,000.
Oh,
so it's really bridging that gap. There's the impression about what mortgages can do is either completely terrible. So some of us in lending are trying to change that reputation, or people don't even try. So bridging the gap, that's what's important.
Well, and because I'm always like the optimistic person here and want to talk about like good things. So what you do, and you're about the money saying it's LD Lending Key.
Yes,
and this is Linda Dobbins.
LD is in Dobbins.
As in, right. You got it, Chuck.
And just so folks know, we'll post like the information up on our show when we post our show. But what would you, so what do you do for people? Because you are essentially then, you could use this
miracle
logo.
Worker.
No, Ray of Mortgage Hope. I mean, it's like, I can copyright that.
I like
no,
that.
But I mean,
let's patent it right now. I truly, truly consider myself a mortgage professional. And that is because majority of my experience is 18 years processing and underwriting them on the other side in operations. I found a passion for that area of helping people. And truly, when you have that feel inside of you that you really do want to do something different, and I deserve more freedom, and I can run my own show because I can do it different. I see so many things that were going right, and a lot of things that were really tainting.
So you've been on the other
reputation.
Side.
Yeah.
You've
so
been on the, you're like a prosecutor who goes after and says, I know all their tricks.
Well, you think you do. You know, I have a ton of experience, and I don't know how I would have ever made it when I went to the sales side, if you will. I don't like that word, but it's really the consultational side. But there's no more W-2. There's no more health insurance. There's no more comfy salary with all your bonuses. And it's a great industry. I made a beautiful career from it. It was the education that I had that I thought, I can still have all these other things with the transitions in my life, and I can build my own empire. And I choose to do it a different way, which is really only have people in my circle, direct business circle, but direct friend circle that have that same path. We just do things right. How do you want your business done to you? That's how I treat every transaction. That's my slogan. It is, I treat every transaction as if it were mine. And I think if we're a little bit more careful and add a little more value to each and every person, just calls, 90% of them do not turn into a loan. But I have seen some of my conversations turn people's lives into something better. So I really think that's part of what we're all here to do, is leave a beautiful footprint, mortgage, and speak our truth. And that's why I'm so blessed.
Well, give us
Chuck
that number right
here.
Now while it's in people's minds. Give us
okay. You can I'm sorry, say that again.
Oh, Chuck said, is there a phone number for folks to call?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, please. Direct phone number 720-326-0846. I'm the only one that will answer that number. That's the direct line to the
business. One more time, because everyone's getting their pens.
720-326-0846.
Perfect.
Two yes. things from a creative thing, because from what I understand of, in fact, we were just at a thing last night, right? And talking to some realtors, and
they were
just like, you know, we're just going to go get another drink. I mean, like literally, yeah. they were just
that was
like
business.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm like,
and that whole law that just passed on the realtor commissions, and I mean, yes.
So what would you say, I mean, or what can you do, or what do you think people need to know? Let's first talk about somebody who already has a home but okay. wants to move up. Because as I understand, that's incredibly difficult because, you know, you've got to sell your house, so now your first-time home. I mean, there's this whole trickle effect. But
you have equity.
But are there, but, right, yeah. and but you don't want to trade.
And some people don't want to use it. Rates are still high. I think that's a great question. A majority of business that's come in easily in the last 18 months is exactly that scenario. That we're here, we want to level up, but we don't want to, we're not going to pay 12% for some second mortgage or so on and so forth. Again, it comes back to having a conversation. It's not like you're a one and done. To me, I think it really takes a bigger conversation of where are we at? What are you trying to do short, long term? And then evaluating this, what are all your goals? What's not just with your finance and this mortgage overall, what are you trying to retire in the next 10 years, 5 years? Oh, you're going to be an empty. There's so many things that truly, if you have the right person in your corner, it just says, here's my best suggestions. Here's what I think are some options. I think that should be plural because people have so many things going on. You just give them your best professional advice based on their scenarios, what they want to do. Let them lead that transaction with their best interests in mind. It always works out. But again, it comes back to that conversation. Just talk about it. What are you trying to do? What's the best way to get there? The number one thing that I think we pride ourselves in any industry, especially this is an industry of networking, and your network is your net worth. Every step along the way, any of those conversations, that's an opportunity also for me to open my mouth, refer out somebody. You have 7 children and you do not have life insurance because you're the sole provider. Things like that where you just go, because they didn't know. How do they know? You know what? I would love to just, when you're ready, I have a beautiful financial advisor. He'll just talk to you about it because I know my person that I would refer has nothing to do with the kickback. It has everything to do. He has the same passion to put people, set them up for their life. They're only calling or asking these questions if they're curious. Give them the answers. Give them straight up answers.
You know, one of the things I think that is sort of funny in schools, and you know, I like, we all learn the hard way about this stuff, right? Like you said, you know, life insurance, it's like health insurance, you know, protection insurance.
Chuck, were they teaching you credit in school? I don't ever remember a credit
course. They don't teach it. So imagine you must run into a lot of people who were like, wait, what? I need that? Or even
more considerate.
Like, that's available? Who knew, you know?
That's funny you say, because that's one of, like, that's something I do separately, you know. It's not for my business. It's more because through my business, I meet people that gives me reach. I'm in works with Denver County, different school district, different nonprofits. My developers I work with that I'm not necessarily a lender. Most of them have cash. They don't need me. What they do need sometimes is a buyer or a seller or the right opportunity to, you know, hey, maybe not just tear that down and build something very generic. This is an area that needs a community. We're suffering for housing in our, you know, metro. They're just things, you know, really being considerate about it. And it's been such a beautiful transition to have all of these wonderful business partners and associates. They become friends after. And that's that circle that I'm speaking of, where everyone that you're really working with or referring out, everyone's considered a resource in their profession. That's a beautiful thing to pass.
You had
along.
That going. Well, let me just a couple more questions, and then I know we have to let you go. But do you see Is I mean, always people say in real estate. I remember a million years ago, my dad telling me, you know, you just in any real estate transaction, be prepared to hang in for 5 years, right? Five to 7 years, and something. Do you see that happening, or
see what happened?
Well, I mean, it's horrible now. Is there a light at the end of the tunnel? Like this,
as far as interest rates go, absolutely. Definitely, you know, full disclosure, all my marketings that you have to say, but I don't have a crystal ball. But we all have seen what's been going on. We've been stuck in an interest rate hard market for over 2 years. They're not predicting, and the Fed has come out and said it, that 100% is directly tied to our treasury. So we professionals that have our private conversations in different industries, and we reach out on a weekly and we talk about it. Here's my prediction. Okay, let's write it down. Let's see. I'll come back on when my prediction's okay. over. Let's
That's
see how
good.
Close.
Oh, there you go.
I do see rates continuing to stay very steady throughout the next 2 quarters, maybe a slight dip. We're talking slight, an eighth quarter would be nice, but it's 2025. And the people I'm talking to in my pipeline, or in especially new ones, I'm saying, okay, if this is your goal, consider 2025. If this is a need, maybe just wait about 9 months. By the end of quarter one, 2025, we'll start to feel it. Summer 2025, people were going to think of it like a boom, but it's only because we're finally going to feel it and see it. And that's just because it's had enough time for all of these non-increases to hit. It takes 3 months, 4 months, sometimes 5 months for anything positive or negative to seriously actually come to where the lenders who are in charge of it are dispersing the new, you know, whichever's, and they have control of that. So summer 2025 is going to be beautiful. And that comes for purchases, especially but some people that got caught when they were purchasing and, you know, 7-8% for first time home buyer, still put 20% down, 8% interest rate. Are you kidding me? That's what it is though, or was, and they'll be refinancing. So it's going to be a good time to have a different conversation about where are we at? Does it make sense to refinance? And lower our term.
Opinion, you know, Biden's climate or whatever that thing was called. Is
still and we'll
spewing.
Be the election's gonna have a huge, huge
that the money is gonna be spewing
impact
out
on what happens.
Yeah. The money's gonna be
this is one of the most
out from
important
Washington.
In my opinion.
I agree.
The money's gonna be spewing out of Washington at least for another year.
Yeah.
Which is gonna make it very difficult for interest rates to go down, because you'll just have constant inflationary pressure. Because, you know, as they print the money and shove it out there to worthless climate change projects.
We need to elect Trump. Hey, listen, Linda, let me, it's
I love it.
Linda Dobbins, LD Lending Key, mortgage solution specialist. I'm going to have you, and again, we'll put this up
give the number one.
Yeah, one more time, the phone number.
The phone number is 720-326-0846. And you can find me online, The Lending Keys. And I also just want to wrap up with, I didn't get to give you a proper thank you for having me on, but it's just been such a pleasure listening to y'all and really having you put your voice out there. It was a pleasure, of course, meeting you in person. This has been even more beautiful. Thank you for just speaking truth. And you guys look great on camera, Chuck. Oh my gosh.
Well, she picked me up.
I didn't know you were
going to
outshine Julia all
last
day.
Time. I wasn't looking too hot.
You look great, guys. So thank you very, 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 very much.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Take care.
Thank you. Appreciate your time today. Linda's a great friend. And you're right. She bailed us out in a pinch. So,
well, if you're trying to figure out some way to get a loan and stuff, you know. She's a miracle worker.
And that's what they need. Again, because we were at this party last night, and literally the real estate agents were like, you know, we're just drinking, okay? Just drinking. So before we let you talk about the British Prime Minister, just for kind of fun, remember the last show, because Chuck gave unclear instructions, I did not have the correct Tucker Carlson duking
beat
it out,
down.
Beat down. You're right, not doing a beat down of this insipid, idiotic Australian reporter. Thomas, our producer, found it and sent it to us. So Thomas, we said we'd play that. So I want to go ahead and do that, because you guys, this is hilarious. And this is what's happening, right? This is what people are saying. Joe Biden has dementia, okay? Tucker Carlson is saying, like, you are a lying reporter. I mean, that's what's happening here. So if we could, Thomas, please go ahead and play the Tucker soundbite.
the whole point of your question was to be like, you're a scary racist.
Well, I haven't
answered my question. And my response is, no, I'm not. Okay, well, how about no more lying in your questions, and then I'll answer it.
Okay, well, this is the same theory, or as you say, idea, that has inspired the New York Buffalo shooting where 11 Americans were killed.
Oh, God, come on.
Two white Americans were killed. But it's also inspired...
It's
inspired one of the worst Australian guys of all time.
How do they get people this stupid in the media? I guess it doesn't pay well. Look, I'm sorry. I've lived among people like you for too long, and I don't mean to call you stupid. Maybe you're just pretending to be, but I've never... I'm totally against violence. I'm totally against the war in Ukraine, for example, which doubtless you support. And like all dutiful liberals support more carnage. I don't. I hate mass shootings, actually. Nothing I said, what does it mean to inspire something? My views are not bigoted against any group. They're honest. They're factual. That's not hate. That's reality. And my views derive from my deep concern for Americans, actually. Americans aren't having kids because they can't afford to. And nobody in charge cares. And so that's my position. That doesn't inspire mass shootings. How dare you try to tie me to some lunatic who murdered people? How dare you, actually? And in fact, I mean, do you know what I mean? I'd be like, you know, Hitler wore those shoes. A lot of people are saying that you're like Hitler. Can you explain those shoes? Hitler wore exactly the same shoes. And you're like, I've got nothing to do with Hitler. Well, that's how I feel about your absurd, disingenuous question.
Right, so therefore you support gun control?
What? I thought it couldn't get dumber, but it did. No, I don't support disarming law-abiding people so they can't defend themselves, so the government has a monopoly on violence. I don't think so. First of all, in my country, that's illegal, as you know. But moreover, it should be illegal in every country. A sovereign person has the right to defend himself and his family, period. And that said, I'm totally opposed to harming anyone. Anyone, have you been calling? Are you concerned about the war in Ukraine and the countless innocents being murdered there every single day? I doubt you are. Probably Putin bad. I am. I'm a Christian. I hate violence. I hate mass shootings. I have guns at home and often on my person when I'm in the United States, I'm proud to say, because I want to defend myself and those I love against violence. That's the point. I'm not perpetrating crimes. I'm not shooting strangers. I'm defending what I love. And if you're against that, I guess I would ask why. Why would you be against that?
Well, so you don't think you harbor any kind of responsibility for these hate crimes?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be charitable. I was like, maybe you're just pretending to be dumb. Now I don't think it's an act.
And good for him. And, you know, and Jacob is saying, if you Google this clip, there are journalists that defended this woman journalist. And even Thomas is saying that was amazing. I know I played him, you know, and what's so good about Tucker is while putting her down, he managed to also make some very good points.
Yes. You often you hear that question and you get the answer and you go, I could have done better than that. But that one, you kind of, that was good. I got to copy some of those.
Terrible, but you are an idiot. I'm sorry. Okay, so now, Chuck, you've got like a minute and a half. No, to talk about switching gears yet again.
Okay, well, my sister lives in London, so, and I love following British politics or European politics anyway. But if you didn't know it, on July 4th, the day of independence from Great Britain has a snap election. Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, called it. And he's hoping to prevent a total bloodbath of the Conservative Party. The Conservative Party has its roots back in the Tory Party, which had its roots back in the Whigs Party, which is about the oldest party that's ever existed in Western democracy. Now, I'm not going to hurry it up. and so the election is tomorrow. The Conservatives are going to get slaughtered. They're conservative only in name. They are basically what's called Blairite people. That, you know, they're Democrats. So they're center left. They keep on saying we're going to stop immigration.
The populists are winning again.
Yeah. Well, Labour is not populist. Labour is going to screw Britain over incredibly. Labour is just going. They're Barack Obama's. They're going. Oh, we just want to make everything great. We want economic growth. And oh, by the way. New inheritance tax, you can lose everything. Against that is Nigel Farage, who I think most people know. He started a whole different party called the Reform Party, who may beat out the Conservatives for second place. for the oldest party in Western, that's such a change. So going to watch tomorrow for some interesting election results. Get the British election results.
And all of it is good news.
Well, it's not good news in the sense that the conservatives, which we consider, you know, we consider ourselves conservatives, are going to get slaughtered in favor of the neo-Marxist labor, but they deserve it. They deserve it. So it's all good news. Yeah, you're screwed, but you're screwed by somebody else this time, which is better. The conservatives have been in there for 14 years. Now you get to get screwed by labor who screwed you before the 14 years.
All right. Well,
that's as good as it gets for you.
Hey, listen, that will wrap it up for us. Thank you to our guests and everybody on Zoom. I'm a happy 4th of July from Sandra, too. Let me read Sandra because she said much better than Vicky I
on. Great to have Linda on. Thanks, everybody. Happy 4th.
And from Sandra, happy Independence Day to all. Remember to fly your flags tomorrow. We want our United States back. We especially need our state of Colorado back. Exactly. Thanks, everybody. See you
on
Party Friday.
Take care.